Open to John chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses and then we'll pray. John chapter 1, verse 35 to 51. We're going through the book of John. The first 18 verses were about Jesus being the Word of God. The next few verses were about Jesus being the Lamb of God. Let's finish chapter 1 today, and we'll see Jesus calling his disciples. Chapter 1, verse 35. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John? You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. And Peter means rock or stone. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help us now in this time to hear your word, to feed upon it as it truly is the living word of God. Lord, I pray that you would not allow our time to be pulled down, or that you would not allow the devil to confuse the minds of unbelievers. Lord, even don't allow us who know you to lose sight of these truths. Father, please give us help today. I pray for clarity in the preaching. I pray that you would help me in my weakness to be able to preach faithfully your truth. Lord, your Son is so worthy. And he is the King of heaven, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray that you would help us to worship him and to adore him today. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be growing in Christ and stronger today for the things that we hear. Oh, Lord, help me to serve your people and to put good food before them. Your word is our delight, Lord. Help us. Give us ears to hear. Spirit of God, I pray you would work today in our midst. Save the lost and help your people to grow in love for Christ. Thank you for these words. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We just read a section about the disciples. Who are the disciples? Well, there's 12. This little part only mentions a few of them. But it's the beginning of the book of John. After talking about who Jesus is and what he came to do as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, then we read about these first few men, how they came to know Jesus Christ and follow him and trust him and believe in him. This is a very special section of the word because it's almost like they're sharing their testimony. Do you have a testimony? These men, they have their own testimonies. Now, for some of them, this is not when they were saved. Some of them were saved before they met Christ because he didn't call them in their sins. He called them as they were following John the Baptist. They had repented. They had believed what little they knew and what little they heard from John, they believed. And like all the Old Testament saints, they didn't know everything about Jesus, but they knew enough to put their faith in the promises of God that he would forgive them and save them. But nevertheless, it is like their testimony because when you come to know Jesus, that's when your life really begins as a Christian. And so we see these men and how they met the Lord and how the Lord called them. And it applies to us today because we are also disciples. So what he says to them applies to us. The Bible is not a dead book. It's a living book. And when you read something that Jesus said 2,000 years ago to someone else, he says it to you today. What words stand out? There's maybe 16 verses that we read. And these 16 verses, when you read about Andrew and Peter and Nathaniel and Philip, what words stand out to you from this section? Is there any theme? Is there anything that maybe John and the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us, trying to show us? When I read this, there's two words that stand out to me. The first one is the word come. The second word is follow. Come and follow. We see Jesus saying, come. We see him saying, follow. Not not once, not twice, but many times here to many people. And I think that's my main burden for today, is that we would remember the Lord is calling all the world to believe in Him, to come to Him and follow Him. It is God's command. It means to be a Christian. Now, I know most of the time we use the word believe, have faith, put your trust in Christ, but really these words come and follow, they go into the same group, this same command. To believe in Christ means you come to Christ. To trust Christ means you follow Christ. So we're going to look at these two words, and then I want to draw out some more teaching from this section that will help us apply this to our own life. These men were called, and my message today is that Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. First word, come. If you look in verse 39, he said to them, come, and you will see. Come. Now, obviously, this has a very simple meaning. What happened was, Andrew and one other disciple who's not named, who I think is probably John. John, not John the Baptist, but John, the man writing this book. Often, when John writes in the book of John, he leaves out his name. He wants to be humble. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself. And he just writes, the beloved disciple, or another disciple, or one of the disciples. This happens many times. Even in the Last Supper, he doesn't put his name. He just says, the disciple whom Jesus loved was reclining on his bosom. And we know it was John. Probably it's Andrew and John. But either way, John the Baptist is a preacher. He's not a new Christian. He's not a disciple. He is a preacher. He is a prophet. He's a man of God. He's the last one of the Old Testament era. And he is announcing the coming of Jesus Christ. And he is preparing people to follow Christ, and he did a good job. Not everyone believed John, but many people did. And here we see two people. They followed John's ministry, and when Jesus came, they were ready to believe in him. They were ready. They recognized him. They understood what John was saying was true, and they left John to follow Jesus. And John the Baptist was not jealous. That's what he wanted. It says in verse 35, the next day, John was there with two of his disciples, and he looked, and here comes Jesus again. Now, just yesterday, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But again, today, he says the same thing. Behold, the Lamb of God. And these two men, they hear it, and they understand. Maybe they didn't understand the first time he said it. Or maybe they understood it, but they were waiting, thinking, should we stay with John? But they realize John is saying, this is the one. And so they left him. And they started following Jesus. Now they're walking down the road. They're literally following him on the footpath. And Jesus turns around, and he sees these two men following him. Obviously, they're following him. He knows that. They don't call out. They don't talk to him. So Jesus says the first words. Maybe they felt embarrassed. Maybe this one they know, if he's the Messiah, and John said, I'm not worthy to touch his sandals. Maybe they didn't have the courage to call out to him. But Jesus knew they were behind him, and he turned around and said, what do you want? What are you seeking? He didn't say that in an angry way. He's inviting them. Why are you following me? And their answer is really a good answer. These men don't know very much. If you read the Gospels, these were fishermen. They were new believers. They didn't understand very much about the kingdom of God, but they gave a good answer here. They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, they're honoring him as a teacher, where are you staying? What do you want? And they say, where are you staying? What does that mean? It means what we really want is not a 5-minute conversation with you on the footpath. We want to go to wherever you're staying and living right now, and we want to sit with you, maybe for many hours, maybe for days. We want to be with you. Do you have room in your place for us? Can we follow you? They want to follow him. They know he's the Lamb of God. They believe. And they're coming to Christ. Almost, it looks like they're almost afraid to talk to him. And he's not angry with them, but he's kind. Where are you staying? What does Jesus say? Does Jesus say, I'm busy today, but you come again in a week and you can meet me at this place? He offers himself. He offers his time to them. He says, come and you will see. Now, this has a very practical meaning. It means I'm going to where I stay. If you want to see where I stay, then come with me right now. Walk with me down this road and we'll reach the inn, or we'll reach my friend's house, wherever he was living. It was not his home near the Jordan River. But he took them to where he was staying that very day, and they stayed the day and the night at his house. They didn't leave. They didn't go for one meal. They wanted to be with Jesus Christ because he is the Son of God. And they found him, the one that they had been waiting for, the one the Jews knew one day God would send, was now there. Jesus. And he was revealed openly to Israel. And John had told them, this is the Lamb of God that can take away the sins of the world. And they stayed with him. So to come, it means for them, they had to walk with him to his house. And he said, you'll see. But for us, what do these words mean? Jesus is saying the same thing to you today. Come and you will see. Come. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are thirsty. Come to me, all you who are weary. Let the children come to me. He's always calling people, come to me, believe in me. And here we see their story, how they met him. What was the first thing that he said to answer their question? He said the word come. Come. It means that Jesus Christ is ready to receive sinners. He's ready to receive disciples. He's ready to receive men and women to be his followers and his worshipers. He wants that. And it was their desire, and it was his desire. They wanted to be with him. He wanted them to be with him. And so he gives them a command. Come, and you will see. This is the first command. Now, some of the others, They don't hear this same word. We read about Andrew telling his brother Peter. We read about Jesus telling Philip and Philip telling Nathanael. These are all different, how they met Christ. Andrew pursued Christ, and Christ gave him permission to come. Peter, his brother told him about Christ and brought him to Christ. So he didn't come directly. He didn't pursue Christ. His brother brought him to Christ. He was brought to Christ through a family member. Philip, he didn't pursue Christ, and his family didn't witness to him. Philip, probably, from the way it looks, the Lord personally went and found Philip. Jesus came to Philip and called him. And Nathanael, his friend Philip, shared with him, "We found the Messiah like Andrew did Peter." And he brought him to the Lord. Everybody comes to Christ in different ways, but Christ will say the same thing to all. Come. Do you see him here turning anyone away? He doesn't turn them away. He doesn't say, "I want Andrew, but I don't want Peter." Or, "I want Philip, but I don't want Nathaniel. They didn't pursue me." No, they came and they saw him. And he welcomed them. He wanted them to come and see. He wanted them to come to Christ. And the same thing is true today. God wants all men to be saved. God does not delight when men stay in the dark, stay in their sin, stay in their self-life, away from God, and die. The Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel, "I do not delight in the death of any man. I do not delight in the death of the wicked." God doesn't want some people to come and some people to stay out. That's not the way the church works. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. You remember in the very last chapter of the Bible, what does it say? It says, the Spirit says, come. The Holy Spirit, still today, through these verses, and through every time in the Bible when Jesus says, come, it is another reminder that he wants you who hear my words, who hear these words, he wants you to come. That was his will for them, and it's his will for us. You see it with Nathanael. Nathanael says in verse 46, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was a very lowly city, lowly village. People didn't like it. People despised it. They thought it was poor and foolish and an ignorant place. And anyone from Nazareth, they're not going to be anything special. And what does Philip reply? His reply is very good. He doesn't try to give an answer. He doesn't try to argue. He doesn't try to convince Nathanael. He just says the words of Jesus. Come and see. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to help you understand. But I know this. If you come, it will be clear. If you come, you will see. So we're learning a doctrine here, a teaching from the Bible, and that is, all who come to the Lord will see. Everyone that comes to Christ, Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. I will not refuse them." Those that truly come, those that truly seek for God in their heart, will find him. God will not hide from the man with a broken heart that needs his help. It is true, God resists the proud. God resists those that would come for a false reason, like some worldly treasure, some blessing or benefit from the world. But those that want Christ may come. They should come. They must come. That is what Jesus wants. So even though these four or five disciples, they all came to Jesus through different ways. Andrew and John, maybe through John the Baptist. And Peter through Andrew. And Philip by Jesus. And Nathanael through Philip. They all came through different people for different reasons. Through different ways. But they had the same reception by Christ. He wanted them. He accepted them. He welcomed them. And the same is true today. Whatever your situation is, you need to come to Christ. And if you come to Him, He will welcome you. The Bible says, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today, the Lord says, hear from John 1, come, and you will see. Whatever your questions are, whatever your doubts are, the Bible is not afraid of doubts. Jesus is not afraid of prejudice or doubts or confusion. Just come, and He will explain everything to you. Come, and you will see that He is the Son of God. Come to Him. In your fear, in your doubts, in your sin, come to Christ and you will be saved and you will see. And the next word is this, follow. Jesus said, come, and Jesus said, follow. Look in verse 43. Well, first, look at verse 37 and 38. This is not a command, but this is repetition. The two disciples heard Him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following. So they started following before He ever talked to them. But look in 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Follow me. Now, many times you read this in the Bible. Philip, He said, follow me. In the book of Matthew, He told Peter and Andrew, James and John, when they were in their fishing boats, follow me. Matthew, the tax collector, He told him, follow me. Whenever He would meet people, and they were going to be His disciples, and they were going to come to Him, He gave them this word, follow. What does follow mean? Coming means you go to a person, you go to a place. But follow means you keep going to that person. You stay with them. If they go somewhere else, you go with them. You go behind them. To follow someone means that you become attached to them. Wherever they go, you go. So it goes even beyond come. Come is the first part. If you're outside of Christ, if you're away from Christ, He says, come. But even once you come, He has another word for you, and that is follow. I have a place that I am going, and you need to come with me. It's not enough to come to Christ once, and then like your duties are finished. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is day after day. We stay near to Him. We walk with Him. He talks with us. We learn from Him. That's what a disciple means. A disciple means a student, a learner. He's the teacher. That's why they call Him Rabbi. Are you a disciple? I hope you're a disciple, because every Christian is a disciple. That means He's your teacher and you're His student, and you have to go to class every day. And you need to learn from Him all the time. You need to be with Him. The Bible says that He chose the 12 that they would be with Him. Daily, it says that they asked Him, where are you staying? That is, we don't want to just meet once on the road. We want to stay with you. And He welcomed that because He wants us to follow Him. If we are near Jesus Christ, He is the Word of God, the image of God, the Lamb of God. If we are near Him, then we are saved. He's like a strong tower, like a refuge. And if we stay with Him and we stay in Him, He will be our shelter. He will be our refuge. He is like our teacher. By spending time with Him, the Bible says everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Jesus said that whoever would follow me, whoever would be my servant, must be with me where I am. We need to be with him. And Revelation said, the Christians are those that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. This Lamb of God, he's going somewhere, and he wants us to follow him all the way through life to heaven. Now let me try and clear up some things. You might be thinking in your mind, if you've read the Gospels, why does it say in John 1 that they pursued him on the road and he said, come and see where I'm staying? Whereas in Matthew and in the other Gospels, he called them from the boat. You remember that? They were out fishing and Jesus is walking on the shore and he says, follow me. And they leave their nets and James and John leave their father and they start following Christ. Is that confusing? Any of you think about that? These are two different stories. Now, what do you do when you read something different in John or something different in Luke than in Matthew and Mark? Well, the Bible makes no mistakes. The Bible is the Word of God. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's breathed out by the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? We need to understand. They're both true. How do they fit together? I think, from what I understand, John is showing us the early story. Because he goes all the way back to John the Baptist and he shows that Andrew and probably John were following John the Baptist. And they were listening to John the Baptist. And so they were ready for Christ and they did follow him on the road and they did go to where he was staying and they did travel with him. But at some point farther down the road, after some time went on, they were out fishing. And Jesus came by on the shore. They weren't strangers. That would be very odd if they didn't know who this man was. And he said, follow me. And they left their boats and followed him. I think it was an act of faith. Not a strange thing of following a strange man. They knew. They had already seen Jesus. They had already talked with him. They had already learned from him. But when he met them at the boat, this was a different call. He didn't say, come and see where I'm staying. He said, follow me, which they knew what that meant. That meant right now. You put down your nets. You get out of your boat. The time has come. We're going somewhere else. I'm leaving. I want you to come with me. In the beginning, maybe he didn't demand for them to be with them every day. Maybe he let them go fishing again with their father or take their boats and go fishing. They did that at the end of the Gospel of John 2. Remember, before he ascended into heaven, they said, let's go fishing. That's not a sinful thing to go fishing. But when he says, follow me, you have to stop fishing and you have to follow Christ. What did he say? He said, I will make you fishers of men. That's a call to the ministry. And later in Luke, he says it again. Peter's on the boat. This time, he's not walking on the shore and he sees them at a distance. This time, he's in Peter's boat. There's a totally different story farther down the road. And they're on the shore and he's preaching to crowds of people. And at the end of the sermon, he says, Peter, let's go out into the deep water for a catch. And they catch all this fish. And do you remember what he says? Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinner. He was already saved. He was already believing in Christ. But he knew, I am unworthy. Lord, I don't even deserve to be with you. Why do you take me with you? And Jesus said it again, a second time. I will make you a fisher of men. That's not the first time that he said that to Peter. And do you remember, he said it later in his ministry too. They're walking down the road and he starts telling them about his suffering, preparing them for what will come. And in Luke chapter 9, he says to them, if any one of you wants to be my disciple, he must take his cross and follow me. He said it many times in the book of John. Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And at the end of the Gospel of John, we won't read it, but do you remember? At the very end, he appears to Peter before he goes back to heaven. They're talking on the beach. They make breakfast. And him and Peter take a walk, just the two of them, down the beach. And John is following behind them. And the Lord tells Peter, at the end of your life, you are going to die for me. You are going to have to give your life. The first time you denied me, you were a coward. You were afraid of man. But in the end of your life, you will be martyred. He doesn't say it in those words, but he says it in a very descriptive way. Someone will take you to a place you do not want to go. You'll stretch out your hands and they'll dress you. As an old man, you would be taken away to be executed. But he says to him at the very end, he says, what about this disciple? And he says, don't worry about him. You follow me. All throughout the Christian life, all throughout the disciples' lives, we see Jesus telling them, follow me, follow me. He doesn't say it once at the beginning. He says it again and again and again and again. Follow me. And I think that's important for us. Whether you're a new Christian, maybe you're not a Christian, you need to come to Christ. Maybe you're a new Christian, you need to keep following Christ. Maybe you're an old Christian, you need to keep following Christ. No matter where he goes, no matter what he calls you to do, the best thing, the most important thing, is to trust him and walk with him. By following him, we see his glory. We learn. We're kept safe. And we're ready for heaven. Do you know where he's going? Where did Jesus go in the very end? He went to heaven. Do you want to follow him? That's where he went. Do you want to go to heaven? Follow him. He's saying, I am going to my Father, and I'm making a place for you. And I'll come again and bring you to be with me. Follow him. That's the final end of the story when we meet the Lord in heaven. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. He calls us in conversion. He calls us to ministry. And he calls us to follow him even to death and the last day. Matthew 19, 28 and 29. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. What is he saying? He's saying, if you follow me now, you will be with me and have eternal life. He is the Son of God. He is God, and fully man, and he wants us to follow. Let me add something to this. There is a cost. There is a cost to follow Christ. In the beginning, the cost was not very much for the disciples. They left an old boat and some fishing nets. That's not that much. But over time, the cost became greater. Over time, their burdens grew greater. And sometimes, people lose everything. Jesus said, whoever has left his father or mother, his brother or sister, his children. Some people lose their children by following Christ. Whoever has lost land or houses, you lose your land in the village. You lose your house because you became a Christian or because you stayed a Christian. There are many things you may lose along the way. And you will have to choose, do I stay with this worldly thing and keep it, or do I keep going forward? Because Christ is still going. And this thing is not. Christian life is not easy, but it is blessed. In the end, you will have eternal life if you come to Him and if you follow Him. Not follow Him for a year, not follow Him even for 10 years. As long as you live, be faithful unto death. Some people, they have to follow Him to death and be faithful even when faced with death. They lose their life, but they save their soul because they stayed with Christ. They chose Christ over the pleasures of the world. Are you willing to pay the cost? Do you want to be a Christian only if it's easy? Then don't become a Christian. Don't go to church. Don't read your Bible. Just give up at the beginning. Because I promise you, for every one of you, the Christian life will be very hard. There will be great blessings in this life. There will be great joys, but there will be great sacrifice. It is God's will that we all suffer in this life for our faith in Christ. There is no easy Christian life. As my friend Jeff in America said, he said, every Christian has the heart of a martyr. Because Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Cross is a place to be punished, a place to die, suffering. But it's worth it. They heard him say, follow me. And Philip followed. And Nathanael followed. And Peter followed. And James and John followed. They weren't fools. They were wise men. The fool says in his heart, I won't follow Christ. It's too hard. No, he will help us. We must follow him to the end and be ready. What will happen in the end? The heavens will open. The Son of Man will come from heaven with great power and glory, and all the angels will come with him. Everyone. And they will come down out of heaven to this earth. And he will be looking for his children, his chosen ones, those that followed him. And he will find them all. He won't lose a single Christian. He'll find everyone that has followed him, and he will sit them on the throne with him. He said, you will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You will have eternal life. But we must follow. That's the command. The two commands, come and follow. Now let me say some more. They came to Jesus, they met Jesus through different ways. They had different testimonies. Nathanael's testimony is very interesting. Nathanael thought, no one good can come from Nazareth. He was a doubter. He didn't believe. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph? As if Jesus was a normal man. He wasn't the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. But he thought, okay, I'll go and see. And his testimony was when he came, Jesus said, oh, Nathanael, a true Israelite, a true Jew, one who has no deceit. He's not a hypocrite. It means he was already saved before he met Jesus. He was like John the Baptist and the others. He was like Anna and Simeon in the temple, devout, righteous, believing the promises, waiting for the Messiah. But he didn't know Jesus was the one. But when he met him, Jesus knew he's a child of God, and Jesus said it. And Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" He said, "Here's a true Jew, not a fake Pharisee. Here's a man whose heart is pure." And Nathanael was shocked. "How do you know me? They have never met before." But in his testimony, we find a little secret. And I love this secret. No matter who becomes a Christian, no matter what their testimony is, there is a secret of why they became a Christian. Because Jesus knows them. This may be hard to understand, but you will find this many times in the book of John, that God has chosen a people to save. Some pursue him, some are brought by friends or family, some Jesus comes personally to talk to them. But all, at the very root, at the very bottom of the matter, the reason why they are saved is because Jesus knows them. And he told Nathanael this, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." What does that mean? I don't know. But Nathanael knew what that meant. We don't know. Why a fig tree? What happened under a fig tree? Was he sitting and praying? Some people think he was praying under the fig tree. Some people think Philip came to the fig tree and found him. Some people think he was born under a fig tree. There's all kinds of theories about why the fig tree. Some people think he was converted, he was saved under a fig tree. I don't know, but Nathanael knew there was something very special about him being under a fig tree. Jesus knew about that. You knew that? It means Jesus is not a normal man. He's not a rabbi or a teacher. He's the Son of God. He knew the secret things of every man. This is important because what he knows about Nathanael, he knows about you also. He knows your life. He knows your past. He knows your present. He even knows your future. He said to Peter, "You will be called Cephas," which means Peter, Pator, rock. Peter would be the rock that would help found the church. The 12 apostles were called the 12 foundation stones in the book of Revelation for the church. Peter would become a rock. Though in the beginning, he was a fool. He was proud. He was cowardly in the end. But by the end of his life, he would become a rock. And he would preach to 3,000 people and see them converted. How did Jesus know that? That's a good name for Peter. Because he knew Peter's future. Jesus knows everything about everyone. He knows your life. He knows your name. He knows where you were born. He knows what you want. He knows your future. And he knows if you're saved or if you're not saved. This is the real reason why they all became disciples. Jesus would say later, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." Look in John chapter 10. I want to show you something. Different men, different names, but they all became believers. Why? Look at John chapter 10. Verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He gives the command to all men, "Follow me." He proclaims to all the world, "Come to me." Everyone, come to Christ. follow Christ. Why is it that these few men, when all the Jews and all the Pharisees rejected Jesus, why did they believe? It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. They will follow me. They are my sheep. I know them. I chose them. To know someone in the Bible means to love them. I love them. I have a special knowledge of them. That's why when Nathanael came, he said, I know you. You're a true Israelite who has no deceit, no lie, no hypocrisy. How do you know me? I know them. I know my sheep. He knew all these men. He knew Philip. He went and found Philip. And Jesus knows you. If you're saved, it's because he chose you. Not because you're wise. Andrew couldn't tell Peter, Peter, I was so much smarter than you. They said, we found the Messiah. No, the Messiah found them. Secretly, in every testimony, in every conversion, whether the person understands or not, the secret reason why they have become a follower of Christ is because he's drawn them with love. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You don't see it in every testimony, but it's there. This is the secret, and this is very wonderful because it means he is for us. He is with us. He calls us to follow him, and he wants us to follow him, and we will follow him because he set his love upon us. Just like the fig tree, Jesus could say the same thing about all of us. He knows our intimate secrets. He's responsible for saving our souls. He knows our future. Are you worthy to be a Christian? No. None of you are worthy. I'm not worthy. Sometimes I feel so low, so small, so dirty. Like, Lord, why would you let me be a Christian? It's only because of his grace. Not because I was wiser or smarter, and so I found Christ and I chose Christ. No, because secretly, he knew me and he found me, a lost sheep. And I heard his voice. This is true for every believer. And that means we give Jesus Christ all the glory, all the credit for our salvation. It's a very encouraging thing when you realize you are not worthy to go to heaven. You are not worthy to see the beautiful face of God. You're not worthy to have your sins forgiven, but he loved you anyway. And he chose you anyway because of his grace. Is that bad for the unbelievers? No. Jesus doesn't tell anyone, go away. I don't want you to come. He invites them all. If someone does not come to Christ, they will be guilty. Jesus told the Pharisees, you are unwilling to come to me that you might have life. They didn't want to come to him. And if anyone goes to hell, they cannot blame it on God and say, the secret reason why I'm going to hell is because God didn't love me. No, everyone will be responsible for their sin, for their unbelief, for their unwillingness to come. But for those that are saved, we give him all the credit and all the glory. I like the way that Spurgeon said it. He said the kingdom of God has a door. To become a Christian, you must go through this door. And on the outside of the door above, it's written, come to me, all you who are weary. Come. And so they see, we see, come. He's telling us, come. We must go through. It's our responsibility. But after we go through the door, we look back, and on the backside, it's written, predestined before the foundation of the world, chosen. You can't know who is chosen, but everyone who has believed in Christ is chosen. And his command is, come to me and follow me. And the reason why any of us do is not because we're so righteous, but because he's chosen us in love. And that is great grace. Without this love, without this grace, no one would come. Everyone would stay in their sin. The invitation is this today. This is my application. Come and see. Nathanael was not sure. He was doubting that Jesus of Nazareth could be the Messiah. I'll give you the same advice. Come and see. If you doubt, if you have questions, come and see. Jesus Christ himself will answer. Don't go to man. Man can't help you. Man can't answer your questions. Go to Jesus Christ and you'll see. That's a promise. Whoever seeks me will find me when they search for me with all their heart. Whoever believes in me will not be disappointed. Whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. If you are not believing in Christ because of some problem or some difficulty or some doubt in your mind or your life, my advice to you is, come and see. Go to Jesus for yourself. Call upon Jesus Christ for yourself. He won't fail you. Men die in their sin because they don't come. If they would only come, they would be saved. They would know the truth. It's not blind faith. Come and see. You will see by faith. You will see with spiritual eyes the truth of who Jesus is. It's not pretending to be a Christian, pretending that the Bible is real. That's rubbish. Garbage. I remember hearing when I was a new Christian, some man said, you know, even if the Bible wasn't true, the Christian life is still a great life to live. And I thought, that's not right. That's a terrible thing to say. The Bible is true. How can you even talk that way? Christians are not pretenders. We have seen, like John said in chapter 1, seen his glory, seen his grace, seen his truth. And we believe. If you come, you will see and you will believe. The message of the Bible is not have blind faith and hope against hope as if it wasn't true. The message of the Bible is be sure. Make sure. Make your calling and election sure. Be certain that you're going to heaven. Don't leave any room for doubt. You must know because this is your soul. Where can you find forgiveness of sins? Where can you find eternal life? In Jesus Christ. And you can be sure. How do you come? We can't do what they did. We cannot walk to Christ. We cannot go to his house. He's not on the earth anymore. But we come by faith. Thomas wanted to touch him. And Jesus said, more blessed is the one that has not seen me, has not touched me, but has yet believed. That's faith. That's how you come. If you're lost, come to Christ. Read these words and apply them to your own life. The Bible is a living book. Come. Jesus is ready. Jesus is waiting. If you're saved, this is my advice today. Keep following Christ. Follow me is not something you'll hear once. The Lord will tell you, follow me many times in your life. In the beginning, after a while, when you start ministering to others, being a fisher of men, After a while, when you start carrying a heavy cross or a heavy burden, when you start suffering in a trial, he will tell you again, follow me, don't quit, don't leave me. We're going farther. You have farther to go. The race is not finished. Follow me. And so my application is, no matter the cost, he has chosen you, he wants you, he has love for you. And if you keep following him, the same thing he told Nathanael is true. You will see greater things than these. You think it's amazing that I know about the fig tree? He told him, you will see greater things than that. If you follow Christ, the more you follow Christ, the more you will see. You will see even greater things, greater answers to prayer, greater miracles, greater blessings, greater beauty and glory in God. The more you walk with him, the deeper you will know him. Follow him. In the end, we will be with him face to face. To follow him now means by faith. We keep our eyes on the Christ that we find in the scriptures. We keep our eyes on his example. We keep our eyes on what he taught us and what he told us. And we look closely here and we follow this. We follow his words. By faith, we're following him. But one day, we will meet him face to face. We will be at rest with the Lord. And even in heaven, we will see greater things. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, show the lost the emptiness, the vanity of this world, and show them the beauty of Christ, that they would come and not wait and not perish in sin and guilt. Lord, I am amazed that you saved me. Or any of us. We are not worthy. That we would hear your voice and obey and trust in you. We know it cannot be because of us. You are the reason. Oh Lord, keep us following you no matter what. Lord, make us all bold to lose everything, to believe in the midst of anything, any trial. Oh Lord, I don't know what you have for these believers in the future, but I pray, make them your followers. Guide them with your voice. Keep them. Lord, we want that day to come. We want your return to come. Come quickly, Lord. This is our great desire. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for living and speaking and loving, for dying, atoning, rising, ascending. Be glorified this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's be finished.